You're listening to Talk Football with Coach K here on this Monday afternoon. A little bit of rain in the area, but starting to clear up. And Coach, we have a guest on the program today that I know you're very familiar with. Good friends, worked with each other back in the Buffalo Bills days. It's Bill Polian, Coach. I'll let you take it from here with the introductions.
Well, I think everybody's aware Bill is a Hall of Fame participant. He's done many claims of victory. I'll tell you what, at every place he's been, and just an outstanding person, administrator. And by the way, he's not just that. He was also a coach, which many people didn't realize. But I think that's a real plus with his total background. But anyway, great guy and good friend, and I appreciate you coming on, Bill. Got a lot of things to get to, and we really got to jump off and get at it, I guess.
Well, fire away. Great to be with you, Kay.
All right, Bill, to start with, we just had a couple of questions that came up, so I'm going to get to them first, and then we're gonna shift gears in a couple of different ways as we go on here. But the question we hear more and more, people hear about, they're trying to get under the cap or get some space under the cap or adjust the cap with what the cap is going to do to them, and. We hear, for example, that the one in New Orleans is innovative, an innovative deal. They signed Taysom Hill to a 4-year voidable contracts that will get them under the cap, not under the cap, but give them more, like a lot more space. And also, the other piece that people wonder about is how can they change a contract or negotiate a contract and take part of the contract and put it, use it as a signing bonus. And the signing bonus will help to get that particular contract lowered are amortized out over years when a signing bonus would seem to be immediate and would have to be accounted for under the present year.
Right, correct. These are accounting tricks in using the various rules that govern the salary cap, which is a little like using the IRS rules when you file your tax return. Let's talk first about the signing bonus. Let's just say that you signed a contract for $1 million in base salary. I'm sorry, $1 million signing bonus, 4-year contract. So the signing bonus is prorated over the years of the contract for cap purposes. So that would be $250,000 a year that would count under the salary cap. Then, in addition, you had a salary this year, the first year, of $10 million. Well, if we change that salary to a signing bonus, which is legal, can be done once each year, and we prorate that over the 4 years, now we got $2.5 million that counts this year. So your salary, your cap number would be $2,750,000, and the rest of it would be pushed out to the other 3 years. So you've saved big money by converting a signing bonus. I'm sorry, by converting paragraph 5 salary, which is what you get paid each week, into a signing bonus. You get the money up front to begin with, and secondly, the club gets the cap relief. So it's an accounting trick, and it's accompanied by upfront payment to the player. Players love it. because they get the money now. They don't have to wait for it. It's guaranteed. If they had to wait for it under paragraph 5 of the contract and earn it every week, it would not be guaranteed. So the players love it, and it creates room. Now, here's the thing to remember before we get into voidable years. Every dollar under the NFL salary cap has to be accounted for. They don't go away. So in that example I just gave you, if we cut the player who we just gave the signing bonus to, and he had, he would have $7,500,000 in unamortized signing bonus left on the contract. We cut him. That 7.5 goes on the cap the minute he's cut. So this is debt borrowing. This is exactly like buying cap room on a credit card. You're going to pay for it down the road. But everybody in the league is assuming that the new television contracts will be so big that you can handle this is called dead money. This unamortized bonus money is called dead money. And most people feel like, well, the new cap will be big enough next year and in future years will be big enough to handle it. They're gambling. But this is creating cap room on a credit card. Now, the other way you do that is with the so-called voidable years. A voidable year is exactly what it means. You and I sign a contract for you to play this year and 6 more years, right? And we say at the end of this year, if you played 50% of the time, the next 7 years are voided. They don't exist. They go away. But when you signed the contract, whatever signing bonus money you got is amortized over those 8 years. So when it voids, you get the acceleration. But the bottom line is, again, they feel like they can handle acceleration. The clubs do, because the salary cap will become so big, because the television money is almost going to double, I think. I mean, that's a guess. I don't know that for sure, but all signs seem to point to that. So there's going to be a lot of room to absorb this debt that they're incurring by using these accounting tricks to create cap room this year. Now, in New Orleans' case and in Tampa Bay's case, Tampa Bay is not as bad as New Orleans, but they will be in time. What they're doing is correct, because they have teams that are capable of winning the Super Bowl. And when you're capable of winning the Super Bowl, you don't worry about cap room. You worry about winning the Super Bowl. So both teams are doing the right thing. And they're using the accounting rules to create space so they can continue to keep their teams in contention. Sooner or later, you pay the piper for that, but nobody's worried about later right now.
Great, great explanation, Bill. That's extremely interesting to a lot of people. Let me ask you one other question pertaining to this. Brady has for years, even in New England, and has done it again now with Tampa. He will renegotiate his contract, and I'm assuming will extend it. Somehow he leaves additional space, and I think that's probably how they signed Barrett here just in the last day or two. But explain how he does that. He agrees to take his payment or his money out years, or whatever he does, that allows them to use that money now.
Yeah, what he does is create cap space, because he will take a huge signing bonus, which is guaranteed, but is paid in installments down the road. So let's say, for argument's sake, it's a $30 million signing bonus, and it's paid off $6 million a year for the next 5 years. Well, he's foregoing the interest on that, he's foregoing the use of it right now. But by doing that, he's created, if it was a five-year contract, he's created $25 million of cap space for the team to use to re-sign players. He's not taking less money. That was portrayed as, you know, the nonsense that they put out in New England, like, oh, he took full value contracts because he wanted the team to win so badly. He got his money, but it was done in a way that was team friendly, which is fine. Nothing to worry about there. And again, it's a good move on the club's part. They know that he won't play 4 or 5 more years, but it's a good move because whenever he's playing, they got a chance to win the Super Bowl. And that, as you well know, that chance doesn't come around very often.
That's for sure. Free agency just kicked off today, and free agent frenzy, I guess, is the appropriate term that's going on. Great. What is the latest update you have, Bill, on anything happening in free agency that maybe hasn't hit the press yet?
Well, nothing can happen until Wednesday. What they're doing now is formalizing talking. You can talk, but you can't sign. So
yeah,
we'll have teams talking to players, making offers, negotiating with the hope that they'll get something done within the next 3, 4, 5 days, and we'll get a number of people coming off the market. But the interesting thing, I don't have anything new today, and nor will they be, because this next 2 days I think are going to be all negotiating. Two things have popped up, though, that are interesting. There have been roughly 50 players, veteran players, released from their teams since the end of the season. 50 veteran players, that's a lot. And of those 50, only 4 have been re-signed. So there's a glut on the market right now. And so I would be looking at a handful of players, maybe a dozen, getting big deals by the end of the week, and then everything's going to go pretty quiet after that, I really believe. I think it's, you know, there's just so many players out there on the market that it's going to drive prices down, and the agents are going to want to wait. The other thing that's interesting that Houston is doing is, whether it's via trade or whether it's via signings, they are putting together a team of aging veterans to try and just put people on the field. Christian Kurtsey, for example. You know, they make a trade today for a linebacker from, who will be an outside rush man from Miami. Shaq Lawson. They trade for Marcus Cannon from New England. They're putting together a, what I would call, a mid-level veteran group that really can't challenge because they don't have any draft choices either to go big into the draft. But they're just trying to be respectable, which is interesting. Justin Britt, they signed, the center who'd been released, which is, to me, is really interesting. They're not. It doesn't look like they're trying to tank. It looks like they're trying to be as competitive as they can be with veteran players, which won't last long, obviously, because these guys, you know, tend to have mileage on them. They tend to get hurt, et cetera, et cetera. But they're not just sitting there and saying, oh, well, we're going to play with all college free agents and what few draft choices we have. They're at least trying to be professional, which I, you know, I credit them for.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go to break here, and then I'm going to ask you if you can stay on. I've got a number of other things I need to chat with you about. But what do you see happening with the two biggest quarterback potential moves right now are with Houston and Seattle? Do you see anything happening there, even if it's a three-team deal?
Well, in Houston, I definitely think he's going to be moved. I think they'll reach the point where they realize it's untenable. They're trying like crazy to get him to come on board and try and keep him, Deshaun Watson, but I don't think they'll succeed. And in the end, all right, let me put it this way, I'd be surprised if they succeed. In the end, they don't have to move him until a couple of weeks before the draft, so they'll be laying the groundwork for that right now. In Seattle, this to me is a media thing. Why would you trade Russell Wilson for Darnold and in a three-way trade and a bunch of draft choices? See, Russell Wilson is among the top two or three players in the league on a long-term contract.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? And Seattle's indicated that they wouldn't.
I think for the good of the league, my opinion is for the good of the league, Houston needs to keep their quarterback there and Seattle needs to keep their quarterback there. We've got to, the integrity and the foundation of the league, which is the most successful professional league ever in the history of man. And they're working at the edges, tearing the edges off of it. When they just allow people to players to say, "I want to play here, I want to play there, I'm not going to play here," it's not going to work. It won't work for everybody's sake. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what the answer is, other than the fact that they probably need to get together and decide that they're not going to allow these moves. I guess these players can move on if they feel like they're not being paid enough or whatever their situation is. They can do better. They can move on, become brain surgeons and rocket scientists and all the other things that I guess they can do, create invent a cure for cancer, whatever they want to do. But anyway, listen, we've got to take a break, Bill, and I've got a number of things I need to chat with you about if you can hold on.
Sure can, Kate. Happy to do it.
Okay.
All right, well, we'll take that quick break right now. You're listening to Talk Football with Coach K. Bill Polian joining us, and he'll be right back on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM.
I'm attorney Stephen Luongo with Levin, Papantonio, Thomas, Mitchell, Rafferty, and Proctor in Pensacola, Florida. Distracted driving is a dangerous epidemic on America's roadways. In 2016 alone, over 3,000 people were killed in motor vehicle crashes involving distracted drivers. This according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. For more information, please visit us today online at levinlaw.com. Please be safe on the roadways. Stop the text, stop the wrecks.
There's only one place in town for the lowest prices and greatest selection of firearms, Pensacola Indoor Shooting Range. Visit our fully stocked gun pro shop for new and used firearms, accessories, and ammunition. Check out the Indoor Shooting Range. We offer rentals on guns, including fully automatic machine guns and silencers. Ladies, this is the safe place to learn how to use a gun. Plus, Tuesday is Ladies' Day. Women shoot for half price all day. The best place to buy firearms in Pensacola, Pensacola Indoor Shooting Range, Highway 29 in Carr City.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Good morning, privates!
Good morning, Drill Sergeant!
I mean, seriously, what a pleasant morning. The sun is shining and the birds are chirping.
You seem to be in a good mood today.
Astute observation.
He's probably happy because he found out Honey Nut Cheerios can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
They're even shaped like hearts. So, in lieu of the obstacle course today, I propose a nice meditative nature walk. Does that sound delightful to everyone?
Yes, Drill Sergeant!
Happy Heart Shapes are back for a limited time. Learn more about Honey Nut Cheerios by picking up a box at your local store.
This is Davis Allen from Sports Call with Davis and Justin, and you're listening to Talk Football with Coach K on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. Let's go ahead and get right back to it. Coach K Stevenson with Bill Polian on Talk Football with Coach K. Coach, take it away.
Okay, Bill, thank you so much. As you know, in this part of the country, it's, of course, pro football is always big all over the country, but college football has a very special place in the hearts of people in this area, certainly, and there are certain teams that in this area that really take the spotlight. But looking at the draft and college players coming out this year, Bill, it looks to me as though the quarterback position, they're in good shape with the quarterback position. I think there's some guys that are going to play and play well in the National Football League. And then their receiver position seems to be well stocked. Others seem to be a little slim, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But anyway, what do you see overall with the draft? And in particular, I'd like for you to talk about the quarterback position.
Okay, well, I think you're right in your description of the draft. Let's talk about the quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence is the likely first-round pick. The only impediment would be, how he comes through that shoulder operation. It's his non-throwing shoulder, so you don't worry about it too much. And he's put up a stellar record at Clemson, and everything you see on film is all good, solid, a winner, Nothing to worry about here, and I think he'll be successful with good people around him. Now the Jets have to put people around him. They don't have anybody there now, but they'll get there, I think. The second pick would be at this point up for grabs, although in my mind it is Zach Wilson from BYU. Now, he's a accurate thrower. He's 6'3", 210, decent size. He's a very good runner. He can extend and make plays down the field. I think his touch is really good. He's played a lot of football. He's played 2 years, which by the standards of this group is these groups these days is a lot, and so I think he probably has shown that he's got a chance to be pretty good, and he's probably the second guy picked. Now whether he'll be the second guy off the board or not remains to be seen, and it's almost immaterial. Quarterbacks are overdrafted simply because the need is so great. The next two guys are big question marks for me: Justin Fields from Ohio State and Trey Lance from North Dakota State. Justin Fields in big games did not do well this year. He's not played a lot. The height is good, 6'3". The weight is good, 228. The athletic ability is good. The arm is good. But the processing in big games was not. So, and the production in big games was not. So that worries you a little bit. Trey Lance, same thing, 6'3", 225, big arm, raw ability, hasn't played much didn't play one game this year, one season prior to that. North Dakota State, so it's a lower level of competition. A guy with physical tools and natural instinct, but I don't know if he can. I know he can't come in and play right away. Hasn't had enough experience, and so, you know, he's probably a guy that I would have lowered down on the board, and would not take him up high because of that. But that said, I'm sure he will be. The guy that I like most of all is Mac Jones. Other people do not. 6'3", 214, not real athletic, very good processor, very smart, average arm. It's not great. Very, very instinctive. He's some people say Andy Dalton, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I make that comparison, but I think he with the right team and the right development, this guy could be a winner for you in the National Football League. I really like him. And then the last guy who's in what I would call the top group is Kyle Trask from Florida. He's 6'5", he weighs 240. He probably could stand to lose 10 pounds or so. He's not real mobile at all. As a matter of fact, he's kind of lead-footed. But that's okay. I mean, you can win with a player like that. You know, they don't all have to be Russell Wilson. He does deliver the ball quickly. He processes quickly. He can make all the throws. He's got a good arm. The problem is that he's not mobile at all, so you better protect him. He's a lot like Joe Flacco. His body type's different, but he's a lot like Joe Flacco in the sense that you have to have great protection around him because he can't do anything outside the pocket or even, you know, a lot of elusive movement inside the pocket. But if you're willing to invest in an offensive line and protect him, I believe you can win with him. Names that I think would be somewhere in the first round. They'll probably be higher than you and I would take them, okay? But that's life in the NFL these days.
You know, it's very interesting, and I would agree with you. I have some problems and would have some red marks up on certainly the same two that you mentioned. You just have to have enough to go on. And I admit I have not seen them to the extent that you have or other people that are truly evaluating these people. I have seen a lot of Kyle Trask. I have seen a lot of Jones and Lawrence. But I think of the ones that just my opinion that the ones that are going to start and play well, I think in the league are going to be Lawrence. Obviously, I think Wilson, the kid. The other thing about Wilson, Bill, that I see just looking at the tape that I've seen, he's got a good quick release. My guy, he gets that when he makes a decision, that ball just up and out very, very quickly, which I think is a real plus. Love Jones. I think Jones is a kid 2.5 years. He gets a degree, and now he also has a master's degree, and that's with a 4.0 average in college. Extremely intelligent, great football savvy, does some things a lot of scrimmage that most college kids don't do. He can recognize matchups and make the adjustments with audibles and so on that others you wouldn't trust to do. And I think he has a very accurate arm. He puts the ball, he drops dimes like very few do in college. So I really like the kid. And then the sleeper is Kyle Trask. I think he's going to start somewhere and play well in the National Football League. Now, you talk about movement and all of that. But you know, let's go back and let's talk about a guy named Tom Brady and a guy named Peyton Manning, and going all the way, Johnny Unitas, Roethlisberger, I don't care who it is, and really name the quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls that had all the movement, and there aren't too many, if any. I go back all the way to the last time Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl was with a guy named Johnson, who I could not run right now with a cane. But anyway, it's you know, I think we talk about, I know with Todd Catlin and with other defensive coaches, ask the question, what is the most difficult thing you have to do in preparation for a team? What is the most difficult thing to defend? And invariably, 4 out of 5, it was any team that can make me defend 53 and a half yards in width and up to 50 to 55 yards in depth. The more grass they make me defend, the tougher it is. If they close the field down, it becomes easier, which means either lack of strength and arm strength to get out there and make the throws to the outside and the depth, or you're moving around. You got a quarterback that can't drop straight back and make you defend 53 and a half yards, and you got to move him all the time. I don't know. Just maybe getting into something here we shouldn't get into, but I just feel strongly about certain things that now seem to be overlooked by the so-called experts.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, the first thing, if people outside the game don't know this, and I'm talking about people that are pseudo-experts or analysts or whatever you want to call them. As you know, having played the position, and I know, having learned from people like yourself, is that the most important ability is the ability to process information. That's why you and I get excited when we hear about Jones with a 4.0 average and completing his degree in 2 years, because it shows on the football field. The most important thing a quarterback has to do is make decisions, and they got to be good decisions. And then the next most important thing he has to do is be accurate with the football. And if he doesn't have those two things, then he can't play. It doesn't matter what else he does. You know, you can go in. We probably don't have many fans on who listen to this show who remember Billy Kilmer, but Billy Kilmer was a single wing tailback at UCLA and played quarterback for the Washington Redskins. He was essentially a backup to Sonny Jurgensen, but Billy Kilmer had a hard time throwing a spiral, but he could move around like crazy in a time when people didn't do it. But Billy Kilmer was smart as could be and accurate as could be. And so he got by with it. But if you don't have the ability to process, if you don't have the ability to be accurate with the ball, which, by the way, Jones has in as you correctly point out, in abundance, you're not going to be able to play. All the rest of the stuff is window dressing.
I couldn't agree more, and I think you just described Jones with the ability to know what's going on, make the appropriate changes, if any, know where the matchups are, and then throw the ball accurately and into windows. There's some stat I saw the other day, and I've never seen it before, where someone has come up with a stat, quarterback throws into windows. Did you see that?
I did.
And Jones is either first or second, having done that. So And that's rather telling, too. And what you just described is so very true. Bill, quickly, what do you see? What do you see teams like Alabama and a lot of changes at Alabama right now? And I have some second thoughts about. I know they're going to be good. They got too much talent. They're great coaches up there. They're going to be programmed well and all of that. But when you lose a quarterback the caliber of a Jones, both receivers that the caliber of those receivers, running back Najee Harris, who's an outstanding running back in all phases of the game, and the offensive coordinator, my goodness, you're talking about an awful lot of loss on a football team to overcome and rebound to the extent that they played last year. What do you think they might be able to make happen at Alabama with all that loss?
Well, the one thing you know at Alabama is that the defense is always going to be great. The question is it going to be exceptionally great? Is it going to be a once in a decade great, which is they do that more than once in a decade, but it'll be great. However exceptional it may be, it'll be certainly good enough to win every week. The question then becomes offensively, what does the new quarterback do? What is he capable of doing? Secondly, is the run game as explosive as it has been in the past? And third, is the protection going to be as good as it's been in the past? The protection question I don't worry about because Doug Marrone is an outstanding offensive line coach, and he'll do a really good job there. The run game, I was so taken with Najee Harris that I couldn't tell you who played behind him, to be very honest with you. Najee Harris, to me, is a slam dunk star in the National Football League. So I don't know who played behind him. I'm sure it's probably a good player, but whether or not they can replace the magic that Najee Harris had is another question. Yeah, and then ultimately, what's the quarterback going to be?
Bill, listen, I can't thank you enough. I'm going to ask you to come back on. We're going to have to take a quick break, and then we're off the air here. So thanks so much, Bill, and I'll be in touch. You stay in touch. Thank you.
All right, Kate. Look forward to it. Bye-bye.